You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, welcome back. What is going on? It is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. As you guys know, I am a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Before we dive into our episode, I just wanted to remind you guys that NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to your second episode this week. This is obviously going to be your Tuesday episode here at the Locked On Rams podcast. And today's episode is going to involve another twist and turn in the Julio Jones saga. I don't know if you guys are sick about hearing this by now, if you know it's kind of gotten old or played out at this point, but it's probably the biggest thing that's following the Rams around right now and the NFL in general. I mean, we're talking about a premier wide receiver, so it makes sense as to, you know, why this is such a big deal for the Rams, the Falcons, obviously, who are likely going to trade him in the next few days or in the next few weeks, as well as all the other teams that are jockeying for position to try and land this superstar wide receiver. On top of that, I also want to talk about some of the biggest potential winners and losers if Julio is traded, as well as that inside linebacker position. Wanted to highlight Traven Howard, who's finally coming back from a season-long injury, and I'm excited to watch what he can put on the field this season and going throughout training camp. But I did want to update you guys quickly with some Julio Jones talk. I talked about it on yesterday's episode. I'm firmly in the camp that the Rams should trade for Julio Jones. Obviously, there is some sort of a price that is just, you know, too much that the Rams maybe cannot afford. But as it stands right now, based off of all the reports that we know, the Falcons are probably not going to get a ton of assets in return for a guy who's now 32 years old, closing in on 33 at some point in this season, I think. You know, a guy who hasn't really been the healthiest player over the course of his career. Obviously, he's getting paid a lot of money. So, you know, it's late in the offseason. They're probably not going to get this tremendous asset package back. A recent article released yesterday or today, depending on whenever you're listening to this, from Football Morning in America, from Peter King, he said that he believes that the Falcons are very likely only going to get a second round pick in return for Julio Jones, but they want to essentially not have to eat any of the money off of his contract. They just want to take a second round pick, send Julio and his contract to whatever team wants to acquire his services, and that be the end of it. And it sounds like, you know, some of the other teams, maybe the Tennessee Titans, maybe the New England Patriots, are a little bit more willing to do that as opposed to the Rams, which I'm not sure if, you know, they just can't afford to take that salary, or, you know, they think that it's going to be too detrimental to their roster building possibilities moving forward. And so they want Atlanta to eat some of that dead money. But I mentioned yesterday as well, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk mentioned that the Rams are one of the teams that could basically be crossed off the list, that, you know, they're more or less out of this race for now, though they could potentially come back in. And I said that, you know, that might be true, that might not be true. I don't know what to believe at this point, but, you know, if Peter Schrager, who's very, very plugged in with the Rams, was not saying it, that I would take a lot of that with a grain of salt. I don't know how much stock you could put into that, but ironically enough, yesterday, Peter Schrager also dove in with some more news, actually added me on Twitter. I don't even know how he found this tweet, but essentially, you know, I quoted that Mike Florio tweet and said, "The saga continues. We don't know who to believe, but unless it's coming from Peter Schrager, I'm not buying it." And basically, he said that last week he went on Pat McAfee's radio show podcast, and he mentioned that the Rams no longer seemed likely and that Mike Florio was actually right on the money. And so that's obviously a big blow to their potential services in acquiring Julio. If Peter Schrager says it and he's as plugged in as they get, it's probably right. It's probably accurate. It sounds like the Rams may not be one of the higher favorites anymore. It sounds like it's going to be a long shot. And then he also kind of dove into it a little bit more. Somebody asked him if there was any more details on why the Rams aren't the favorites or, you know, among the favorites. And he said, "I don't think that they are going to part with key veterans, and that is what it will take." So there's obviously some conflicting reports here. You have Peter King mentioning that it might just take a second round pick straight up, and then obviously the ability to eat that salary cap and all the money that's going to come with trading for Julio. And then you got guys like Peter Schrager mentioning that maybe the Falcons are asking for a key veteran in return from the Rams, maybe because the Rams don't want to offer, you know, a second round pick like some other teams may be more comfortable with doing, or maybe someone else is offering a first round pick and the Rams don't have any first round picks, so they can't offer that, you know, obviously until 2024, and that's not a very enticing pick. So there's a lot of moving parts right now, a lot of different dynamics surrounding this situation. But one thing I could definitely say is, you know, you could take some solace in the fact that general manager Les Snead is going to do everything in his power to make this team the best possible team that he can field in 2021. I mean, this is a guy who's going to inquire. Obviously, we know that he's inquired now. We know that he's actually tried to go get Julio. And that, to me, is the most comforting aspect here, is that you don't have a general manager who's going to be complacent and scared to make a move because, you know, what happens if I fail with this trade? Is the media going to bash me? Am I going to get my job slashed under me? What's going to happen, right? He doesn't worry about all these excess and different things outside of the building. He knows what Sean McVay wants. Sean McVay and the coaching staff do a tremendous job of having an open line of communication with the front office, talking about, we want these skill sets, we want these players, we're weak at these positions, help us achieve these certain talents and skill sets. And Les Snead and his department do a very good job of finding those exact football players. They obviously know how to scout and obviously know how to trade for guys and do all these different things. So the Rams have done a very good job at going to get the players that they want. If Julio Jones is one of those guys, I still think that they're going to find a way to get it done. If they don't want him as bad as they wanted some other guys, then they're not going to trade for him. Ultimately, someone else will, and the Rams will have acquired, maybe been a player, but, you know, they're happy with their wide receiver core too. They're not going to be desperate for Julio like they probably were for some other players, like a Matthew Stafford or like a Jalen Ramsey or whatever the case may be. The Rams seem intent on at least trying to improve their roster by any means necessary, and right now, that may or may not land in a Julio Jones trade, but we don't know for certain. Right now, it doesn't seem like the Rams are going to be one of the top options, according to Peter Schrager, Mike Florio, and a couple other reputable sources across the NFL. Now, if the Rams do find a way to trade for Julio Jones, I want to take a look at the ripple impact that it may have on the roster and talk about some of the biggest winners and losers when it comes to the Rams, their division, as well as their roster, if they are able to secure a trade for Julio Jones. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MVP and the page at Locked On Rams. Folks, are you having any car troubles? Do you ever go outside to find your car tires flat or your car won't start? Well, you should absolutely check out rockauto.com for your service needs. Rock Auto is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. There isn't a better time than right now to support family-owned businesses with this weird COVID stuff that we got going on in our world. So if you can, I urge you to try and support family-owned businesses. If you are a person who likes to do things yourself and fix things with your own hands, or you're a professional and you're just looking for reliably low prices, you should check out Rock Auto. All you have to do is just go to their website and check out all their available parts. It's a never-ending list, and I promise you, if your car needs it, there's a very good chance that they have it. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us so they know that we sent you. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NBA and NHL playoffs are officially live. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's betonline.ag. Welcome back to the second segment here of what feels like another Julio Jones special at the Locked On Rams podcast, your Tuesday episode. We're going to continue along with this Julio Jones talk. And if for whatever reason I just wanted to say I sound funny right now, I wanted to just apologize because these allergies are coming in strong. The pollen is kicking my behind, so my nose is all kinds of stuffy. Man, it is difficult to podcast with these conditions, but that is why I may sound a little bit funny. I just wanted to kind of let you guys know. And now that's past. We can actually move on with the podcast and dive into some of the winners and losers if the Rams can find a way to secure a trade for this superstar wide receiver we call Julio Jones. Now, I want to begin with some of the winners. And the overall winner, how about the Los Angeles Rams? I mean, you talk about a guy that's going to make everybody's job easier pretty much on the team. I mean, offensively, we know what Julio Jones can do. He is special. He is a Hall of Famer. He's going to make Matthew Stafford's job easier. He's going to make Robert Woods' job easier. He's going to make Cooper Kupp's job easier. He's going to make Cam Akers' job easier. How about Tyler Higbee? All these guys, the offensive line, everybody. I genuinely believe he is this good. We talked about it on yesterday's podcast, how he's going to affect the passing game, how he's going to affect the running game and the numbers in the box, and then how that's going to trickle down and affect the entire offense as a whole. That's going to obviously help Sean McVay in terms of his ability to call plays and what he can call and how they can create more explosives. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. Well, if your offense can score 30, 35 points per game, your defense suddenly doesn't need to be that same defense that you fielded last year that was not good. They were great, and they don't have to be that reliable week in and week out. They can have some of those games where maybe they slip up a little, maybe they don't play as well, and that may not cost you a game like it did in that divisional round against the Packers. If the Rams had an offense that was dominant and they put up 35, maybe you don't worry so much about Aaron Rodgers and his ability to put up 30 because you're just going to outscore them. So, you know, that is how I believe he affects the entire roster. And ultimately, the Rams would be winners in that regard. Now, you look at the loser side of things. Well, I think it's pretty clear that DeSean Jackson probably would be a little bit of a loser in that situation. Van Jefferson, probably a major loser in that situation. Tutu Atwell, I would probably say, doesn't get affected too much, but maybe a few less snaps for him as well. Why DeSean Jackson and why Van Jefferson? I just think, one, they're going to see less targets in that scenario. Two, they're going to see less playing time, less snaps. And ultimately, that's going to be something not so good for Van Jefferson's development, obviously. If he's not on the field, he can't exactly develop to the best of his abilities. And DeSean Jackson, well, you signed him to be this deep threat and to be the guy that's going to win down the field and vertical and be that threat that's going to force safeties to kind of work backwards and all that stuff. Julio Jones does a lot of that same stuff, except way more and at a much more dominant level. Now, if he's getting those targets, how much is really left over for DeSean Jackson? Maybe not so much. So, you know, ultimately, it does also make him a bit of a loser too, but I don't think you should be all too concerned about that. If you're getting an elite wide receiver, the guy that you signed to a one-year deal for a handful of million dollars, he should not impact how you go about this at all, in my opinion. Now, you look at some more winners. I mean, Matthew Stafford, he's got to be the biggest winner in the NFL if this happens. He's always had a large contested catch, jump ball style of wide receiver in his career. You look at the Kenny Galladay's. I mean, he's been very good at that over the course of the last few seasons. Marvin Jones as well. He's been a guy that, even though he's maybe not the tallest, he's like 6'1 or 6 foot and some change, he can go up and get it. You look at the guys before them. I mean, Calvin Johnson, aka Megatron, he wasn't bad at it. He was 6'5 and he was going to go up and get it. And it did not matter if he was covered by one guy, two guys. Hell, if he was covered by three guys, if that ball was in the air near Calvin Johnson, he was coming down with that. And Matthew Stafford made a career out of throwing these jump ball situations and giving his wide receivers a chance to go bring these footballs down for the last, you know, 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, pretty much throughout the entire course of his career. Right now, with the Rams, he doesn't really have that guy. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, they're great. And DeSean Jackson is very good too. These guys are going to separate, but do they really have a guy that's going to go jump up and bring in these contested catches when defenders are draped all over them? Maybe not, especially when you get down into the red zone where, you know, you might want to utilize that skill set a little bit more than you do outside of the red zone. So ultimately, Julio Jones could absolutely be that for Stafford. I think he would offer that dynamic on top of everything else that he does. He is a guy with long arms, a big body. He's strong as hell. He can jump out of the gym, and ultimately he can go up and get it. The traffic of defensive backs and having guys draped all over him doesn't really affect him whatsoever. So I do think he would obviously help Stafford's ability to, you know, be more productive on the football field. Hell, if you're better, that might help his MVP odds, to be quite honest with you. I think Stafford would be one of the biggest winners across the NFL if they do find a way to secure it. Now, the last few losers. I'm not even going to talk about the Rams right now. How about the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks? And I guess you can even toss the Arizona Cardinals in there. Now, all three teams to some degree have been connected to Julio, but especially the 49ers and the Seahawks. Apparently, both teams are trying to make a play to go get him, similar to how the Rams are slash were. And it makes sense. I mean, the guy's amazing. Everybody and their mothers should be interested in acquiring this guy's talent and services, in my opinion. Now, the Seahawks have made some big trades to kind of, you know, keep up with the Rams and the 49ers. You look at the Jamal Adams and the things like that, the Carlos Dunlaps, but they seem to kind of be falling behind. And then you look at the 49ers, they've also made some big trades. They go up and obviously get their quarterback in this draft, but they don't have a wide receiver that's going to be competitive with the, you know, the DK Metcalfs or the Julio Jones. Yeah, they got Deebo Samuel and he's solid, and Brandon Ayuk is developing and he's also solid, and both guys have the ability to be very good wide receivers in the NFL, but neither of those guys is a top 15 guy, maybe not even a top 20 guy. So, you know, the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals, while they may be interested in getting Julio, if the Rams can do it, I think the Rams are the best team in the division right now. If they add another superstar to an offense that already looks like it has the potential to be a top five unit, I think that gap widens even a little bit more. And the Rams in that scenario, not only are still the champions and the favorites in the NFC West, but then we really got to start talking about, is this team as good as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Are they better? Are they the best team in the NFC? Because I do think that that's how much potential they could have if they do go out and find a way to secure a trade for number 11 from the Atlanta Falcons, Julio Jones. That does it for all the Julio Jones talk for now. I told you guys I'm going to keep you updated with any news that does come to light. If the Rams odds increase, if, you know, some reports come out that they are jockeying for more position in terms of being the favorites again, I'll make sure to share it all with you guys. But for now, that's all we got on the Julio Jones front. And we are going to spend the final segment talking about Traven Howard and that inside linebacker position. And while we've got you, make sure to check back in with us here tomorrow when former host Brad Monner joins me. You know I got to ask him his thoughts on Julio Jones and all this stuff going on with the Los Angeles Rams. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I'd like to think that my word holds a lot of weight as I've lost 155 pounds over the last 2.5 years. You guys know throughout that process, I was looking for the best protein bars that are available. And I'm telling you guys, the Built Bar is unmatched. They literally just sent me a care package yesterday. And I don't know if I'm allowed to actually tell you guys what the flavor is, because sometimes they like for us to keep it under wraps. But it was another tremendous flavor. And I'm not joking. I ate all 6 of the protein bars in one day. Sometimes I can't control myself. They're that good. They're so delicious. And the texture, which I talk about all the time, is unlike any other protein bar out there. It's so, so good. They have a bunch of different flavors. The bars are also healthy. They're low in calories. They're low in sugar. They have 19 grams of protein per bar. They're high in fiber. And they even work for you on a keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the final segment here of this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I'm your host, Sosa Cremenjas. And man, my nose is all kinds of stuffy right now. My eyes are itchy. I feel like Michael Jordan in that flu game. Man, podcasting is no joke when these allergies are coming to get you. They do not spare anybody out here. That pollen is strong. But, you know, we got to make it through. And we are almost through this episode. And I wanted to pick up where we left off and kind of transition from that Julio Jones talk that we've talked about for, you know, 2 days now, and talk about that defensive side of the ball, specifically that inside linebacker position for the Rams, and specifically Traven Howard, who was returning from a season-ending injury last year. The Rams appeared to have Howard slated to start last year, and I think that made a lot of sense. When you look at that inside linebacker spot, the Rams last year, and I guess even this year because they didn't really improve it much, could be one of the bottom 5 inside linebacker depth charts in the NFL. I mean, that's no knock to any of these guys, but some of these other units in the NFL are super talented, and the Rams just have and had a lot of question marks at this spot. There weren't really any dominant players that we know of. There wasn't a lot of consistency, and there were just a lot of question marks in general in terms of, you know, we haven't really seen these guys either play at all, or we just haven't seen them play extended periods of time. And, you know, going into this season, a lot of those same questions remain, but the one guy I kind of always circle back to here at this position is Howard. I just think that, you know, this is a guy I had no clue about when the Rams drafted him in the seventh round coming out of TCU. And when I finally flicked on the tape after they drafted him, I seen a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, a former safety that moved to linebacker, I believe maybe in the final year of his collegiate career. And it shows. I mean, he's by far the best coverage linebacker that the Rams have. And that is, in my opinion, not really a question. I mean, sure, he might not be as good against the run as, you know, a Micah Kizer or a Troy Reader or maybe even Ernest Jones, who the Rams just drafted, because those guys are just linebackers by trade. They have a little bit more weight on them. They might be just a little bit more physical because, you know, they got more sand in the pants, as they say, which means, you know, when a lineman comes to engage with them, they're not going to get blown off the ball because they have a lot of training at this position. They're just a little bit stronger, maybe a little bit more weight, all that stuff. But Traven Howard, make no mistake about it, I think he's the most versatile, agile player, the most dynamic linebacker that they have in this room. And it's good to finally see him back, coming back into his health, finally returning to the field, getting an opportunity to go throughout OTAs healthy, go throughout training camp, knock on wood, healthy, maybe get to play a preseason game or two, kind of get his feet back under him and sort of get some snaps because he hasn't played in what feels like a long time, and actually get to call some plays for the defense, set some guys up on that side of the ball, and just get to tackle someone. Get that rust off of you and get back into that football mood. You always hear quarterbacks and, you know, offensive players talking about the first hit, the second hit, the first few hits are when I finally feel like I've gotten back into the groove of things. Well, on the defensive side of the ball, it's probably similar, except they're not the ones getting hit. They're the ones doing the hitting. So it will be good to see that. And not only that, but you look at Ernest Jones, you know, the Rams drafted this guy. He is not good in coverage. So that to me symbolizes the fact that they are going to obviously rely on Ernest Jones. You don't draft a guy in the third round and as your second overall draft pick in your draft class and not expect him to start or not expect him to be a contributor. So I do think Jones is going to get one of the starting roles, but that impacts more of the Troy Readers, the Micah Kizers, and, you know, those guys, the guys that are heavier against the run, guys that are going to be more physical inside the box, guys that maybe you don't want on the field on third down, to be quite honest with you. Obviously, you know, if he is the play caller, he's going to remain on the field on third down, but not dynamic in any way, especially in coverage. But you look at the other guys, the Kenny Youngs, obviously the Howards that we're talking about here, these are your more dynamic coverage style linebackers, the guys that are going to be a little bit more free-flowing, a little bit more athletic, maybe better at making plays on the football, a little bit more depth in terms of how deep they can cover the field, a little bit more variety in what you can do in coverage. You probably feel a little bit more comfortable with these guys, maybe playing some spot drop zone coverage in the middle of the field, playing a little bit more in that slot position. Not that you want them consistently covering slot receivers, but, you know, they can pass those guys off a little bit. Whereas, you know, the Micah Kizers and the Ernest Jones, they should be refined pretty much to just dropping into the flats and hoping that they can do that, because these are the kind of guys that can get exposed in man coverage. Now, Howard, in my opinion, the best linebacker on the team, not just in coverage. I think just in general, he's the best linebacker on the team. And I'm very excited to see what that's going to translate like going into the season, because I've talked about the potential regression on the defensive side of the ball for the Rams. It's very, very hard to repeat as the number one defense, especially when you lose, you know, key players in your secondary in John Johnson, who played like an elite safety, a Pro Bowler, Troy Hill, who played very, very solid football, one of the top 10 nickels in football probably, and then obviously Michael Brockers and stuff like that. But the inside linebacker position, in my opinion, probably just got a little bit better, and that might help offset some of those other losses and some of the potential regression that I've talked about over the last few weeks for the defensive side of the ball. Sure, they still don't have any dominant edge rushers outside of Leonard Floyd, and Leonard Floyd is still a little bit of a question mark himself. They still have lost Johnson. They still have lost Troy Hill. But you look at that linebacker position, I think Howard is the best linebacker on the team. He's going to be a big upgrade over Kenny Young. And I think Ernest Jones, even though I wasn't a huge fan of the pick, I still think he's a better football player than Micah Kizer. So that inside linebacker position probably got a little bit better for you, and that should help offset some of those potential regressions on that side of the ball. Now, how much? We don't know. We're going to see how it happens and how it develops throughout the next few weeks, the next few months, the rotations at that spot, you know, who the Rams want to give those first team reps to, the second team reps, however the injuries may shake out. That whole situation is obviously something you always got to look at. But for now, it does seem like the inside linebacker position is going to be a little bit better for the Rams going into this season. And I think a lot of that has to do with the return to health from Howard. That is going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. As always, I appreciate you guys for giving me your time and listening to another episode here with me. It's always fun to get into these things and talk about the Los Angeles Rams. Just a reminder, you guys can come connect with us on Twitter at QBsMVP and at Locked On Rams. Make sure to check back tomorrow to hear thoughts from our former host, Brad Monner. And please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.